The Gaming Grunts present a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign, Storm King's Thunder.
Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Storm King's Thunder, brought to you by the Gaming Grunts.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
For those of you who are new to this this podcast, we are transitioning from the Lost Mine of Phandelver, where the party succeeded in liberating Wavecho Cave and returning it to the Gundren family, and these same characters, save one, are continuing on their adventure, and we will be continuing with Storm King's Thunder as the adventure continues, and we bring in a new character for Bala, who wanted to explore some very interesting new stuff. So why don't we go around and tell people as we've leveled, tell everyone as we've leveled what your new stuff is. And Bala then can also give a kind of brief description of the new character that they're running. So alphabetical order, let's start with Alan.
I am still Lillian, and the only thing that really changed with level 5 is I now have 2 attacks per action. So okay. Combine that with 2 weapon fighting and Horde Breaker, worst case scenario, like best case scenario, then I'm swinging 4 times.
Okay.
Reduced many times over.
Good deal. So you want to get into a battle with tightly packed enemies.
the big plus in the thing that I'm excited about is it won't take them all being next to each other for me to be as effective now.
So. Oh, okay. All right. So Bala, tell us a little bit about Toph.
Toph is a Aberrant Mind sorcerer. She lost her hearing when she was an infant, and because of that, like, she can't. She is mute too, but like she has psychic abilities. And she could able to telepathically talk and read people's lips and understand like what they are saying. It's kind of a mystery, like what happened with the blast, but like that's her goal in her life, to figure out like what's going on, what happened when she was young, and and also like she developed a way to cast spells like without any verbal means.
Verbal component.
So either through subtle or like, yeah, that's the gaming mechanics. But like, yeah, I think she's gonna be one of the with the weakest hit points, I would say. But like, she is a very strong spellcaster, so it's gonna be interesting to see like how she's gonna play out. Excited to play the character.
So subtle spell is the mechanic. You burn a sorcery point to cast a spell with a verbal component, non-verbal.
And also at level 6 I get an ability to cast all the spells in the psionic list. I could cast it without a verbal or a semantic component, and it doesn't even need a material, like unless the spell is going to consume those materials. So I'm going to be pretty much heavily relying on that one, like once I level up, but I think for now, like everything is going to be through semantic components. Yeah.
Great. And we established that she did try to have this hearing healed at some point, but a lesser restoration spell was unable to cure her deafened condition, or deaf mute condition, and that's perhaps one thing that she can try to discover as well, is, you know, why that's the case, or if there's a way to restore her here. Next up is David.
I'm continuing on as Agador, and at fifth level, I picked up 2 third level spell slots, and also 1 third level spell I picked up as part of leveling, and picked up Slow. I also have the ability to trade in one of my previous bard spells, and I've never cast Enhance Ability, so I dropped it and replaced it with Liamon's Tiny Hut. So hopefully we'll have some good night's sleep and be protected and not get attacked by owlbears and whatnot in the middle of the night. But we'll have to see how that goes. Other than that, I also got my Bardic Inspiration die went from a 1d6 to a 1d8. And I also get all of my inspiration back now on a short rest as opposed to just a long rest. And I think that's pretty much it. Oh, my Vicious Mockery now does a whopping 2d4 damage versus 1d4. But yeah, that's it. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Jeff?
So Tankrin became at fifth level, got extra attacks, so now he can miss twice in a round instead of just once in a round. He also got second level spells or spell slots, but he didn't actually get the ability to hold more, to have more spells prepared. So the spell that he's keeping prepared is Lesser Restoration, and he dropped Heroism. And he also has he gets the ability to use all the spells. It's like he can just change. So at some point in the past, he has used Fine Steed and is now riding a Mastiff.
Awesome. And Sanswood, last but not least.
Yep. I just pick up as a druid that goes to level 5. I choose to learn some healing power and become a life circle cleric. And my plan is to magically grow a lot of berries and force you guys to eat it. So every morning I'll send you some nice good berries, or maybe bad, I don't know. It depends on my situations last night. And you guys can use that as a potion. And besides of that, as a druid cleric, I'll starting my personal guidance and resistance to you guys, if you are willing to allow me to touch you guys, which is weird, but yeah, that's my new cantrip. So that's all, and we'll see. I might be more bossy than before because I'm more experienced now. Yeah.
I've always, for some reason, envisioned good berries to be very similar to blueberries, but because the description of the spell does not specify what they look like or what they taste like, I'll allow you to flavor that literally and figuratively any way you want. Okay. As long as it's a berry, it can't be like a steak.
Yeah, really prepared for that.
Can I use prestidigitation to change the flavor, since that's one of the things that...
Sure.
The mental image I've always had of good berries was Zinswood just kind of bending over, reaching below them, and then acting like a little candy dispenser. And out come little rabbit pellets, and he feeds them to everyone.
Those are not good berries, those are dingleberries. Very different. Anyway.
We'll see.
Not so good berries.
Oh, my.
And now that's everyone's mental image. Whether you want it to be or not.
Cannot unsee.
Cannot unsee that. No, no. And I am John. I am your dungeon master. I have changed from having owlbears attack them in the middle of the night to having giants throw giant rocks at them. So that'll be fun. So that's my big change. Anyway, so last we left off, the characters had returned to Phandalin and taken a few days of rest. It had been an exhausting adventure, defeating the red brands and all of the you know, the clearing wave echo cave and all that stuff, and it took a toll on them. So being the effective saviors of the town, having defeated an invasion from a band of orcs and other things, they were treated to several days respite within the town, and after several days, they were called to the town hall, and there in the town hall, along with the rock seekers and what's the name of his companion? I forgot.
Sildar.
Was the proprietor of the Lion Shield Coster, a female dwarf by the name of Lenine, and she you know, she welcomes you as you arrive, and says, so we had I received word from my compatriot at a new branch of the Lion Shield Coster in Tribor, a shop by the name of the Lion's Share. And the proprietors, Alestra and Narth, Alestra Ulgar and Narth Tesmer are the names, they communicated to me that they had spotted someone who matched the description of the Black Spider, and so we thought you might be interested in trying to pursue the Black Spider if you're able to track him down and bring him to justice, come back dead or alive. We don't really care. Then we can we'll reward you for that effort. In addition, it just so happens that I have a shipment of supplies. As I said, it's a fairly new branch, and they need to be supplied just like everybody else. And we've been getting a lot more equipment here in the past few weeks as the town is freed of the Red Brand oppression. And is continuing to grow. Something you've noticed over the past several days is the increase in traffic as people arrive in town and begin to settle. They have they will provide you with a reward for delivering these goods to the to the shop. With those two incentives, we'd like you to make your way to Tribor as soon as possible.
Out of character, this sounds a lot like the way we entered Lost Mine of Phandelver. Delivering supplies.
In a way.
Bring it over here.
In a way.
Back in character. Yes, we will do this.
Yeah, different source, different destination, but yeah.
Same hook.
Same hook, yeah. So
certainly, we'll deliver them.
Okay. Anything you need to do before you leave? Anything you need to purchase? Although I think you probably went through all that over the past several weeks, as you updated your characters, but is there anything that you need to do in the process?
How long of a trip is it to Tribor?
Oh, ask me things I did not look at.
Look at your map on your that you have hanging on your wall.
It is probably a good week's journey. the
a week with Agador.
Don't worry, you're sleeping outside the hut.
Let's see if there's a I need a better oops, why is that?
The map available in the Sword King Storm King Thunder.
There's a it's actually a more
more detailed map.
Smaller.
Oh.
Map more concentrated in the area that we're interested in. Maybe not.
No, but if it's a week, that's
it's a little less than a week. It's a little less than a week. Say 5 days of five or 6 days of travel. It's a straight shot down Tribord Trail, so it should be a pretty direct route. And it's an area you're fairly familiar with. You've traveled up and down Tribord for a fair amount of its length. Weeks in Faerun, by the way, are actually called 10 days, and they are 10 days long. So, it's about 5 days to Tribord.
I think when Agador set out of Neverwinter on his way to Tribord before he got molested by the goblins, we had planned it to be a 10-day to get from Neverwinter down to Phandalin and back up. So does that sound about right?
It's about right, yeah. The distance between between Neverwinter and Phandalin is pretty close to the time to the distance from Phandalin to Tribord. Mm-hmm. They are similar.
So are we delivering a cart with a donkey or a horse or a wagon?
Yeah, basically very similar situation to the goods that you delivered from.
Do we recognize the horse and cart?
No. Those belong to a different person within Phandalin.
They don't have like a U-Haul equivalent of horse and carts. It's a small town. They probably don't have that many on offer.
That's right.
stop by the U-Horse.
A mule haul.
Mule haul. There you go.
I was hoping someone would come up with something. I think that's the winner.
So they'll supply you with the wagon, they'll supply you with the horse, it should be a hopefully uneventful journey.
That's what they always say. And then the bugbears.
Curious, like, am I in the group now, or like?
Oh, that's an excellent question. During this process, at some point, one would assume we encounter Toph. Toph, where do you suppose you would encounter the group? They spend their time, in various places in the town. They have regular contact at the town hall. They spend time in the tavern, where they're spending their nights. They have, ongoing relationships with people in town. Where do you suppose that you would?
Most likely, I think Toph hears about like all the heroic acts that the group has done, and then she really interested in joining them. Like, she used to be a spy, but like she wanted to do something better and something get paid, to be honest, paid better as well. So she hears about all these things, like about like all the adventures that the team, like the group does. Do we have a group name? I don't think we do, right?
that's a good question. Yeah. Certainly the story of the saviors of Phandalin have made it back to certainly Neverwinter, and you know, in some of the smaller local towns, they've generically referred to as the saviors of Phandalin, for lack of anything better to call them. And you've heard about them for sure, and perhaps that attracted you to come to Phandalin to seek them out.
Yep.
Just imagine how famous we'd be if we killed that dragon.
or been killed by it.
Well, but do you know all the people killed by a dragon, or do you just not see them again?
you hear about, you know, hey, there's that Larry who thought he could beat the dragon. Him and Fred.
Okay.
So not sure how Toph wants to introduce herself to the group. But metagaming a bit, I'm sure that Lillian would be very excited to not be, you know, the only female of the group.
Yeah, I mean, like, she comes and just, like, looks at everyone, and then suddenly you guys hear voices in your head, and then telling you that, like, introducing myself, and then, like, introducing... what she used to do, and then like where she comes from, and then just not everything, like just a brief intro, and then she's gonna check like, hey, I would like to join you guys in your adventures. Like, I'd be interested in to go on like kill a dragon. Yes.
What does Toph look like? Give us a little.
Oh yeah, Toph is a half Ashimar and half human. She has,
and how is that expressed in the way she looks?
She has a short hair, like a 5'5" tall. She has something covered in her mouth, like she has a cloak or like something like a. But I don't know if you guys have seen like the Raven from Justice League, like, you know, like where like, yeah, the cloak that's covering the head, and then like a long cloak kind of a thing. And also she has two daggers on her side, and then like she has a crossbow on her back. Her eyes looks normal, but like it does change colors like based on what she does. But like normally I think did I miss anything else? Yeah. And yeah, she has, I'm just looking at my, thinking of my artwork and whatnot. Like, yeah. But yeah, like, I think that's what she does. Like, and then like, she kind of comes to the group and then says like, talks about like what she has done by acting as a spy, like where she could, she's gonna sell herself, like, you know, like, oh, I could listen to people's thoughts. I could try and see, like, you know, like, I could talk to them, and then she could also like psychically affect other creatures or other monsters and humanoids. And and she's gonna talk about like how impressed like the team has taking care of, like, you know, like, the mine, like, you know, like clearing out the mine, as well as, like, you know, like helping the city from the gnolls. Orcs. Yeah. So, and
orcs,
she
orcs
is,
and ogres. Oh my.
And she is very interested in joining the group, not just because to help others, like, you know, mainly for the thrill of adventure, as well as, like, to be honest, like, to make money as well, like, better money for her, too. But she doesn't say those things, but, like, she's just gonna say, like, oh, I'm really excited to join you guys to adventure with you and whatnot. Yeah.
And during these past several days, Eagle Eye has taken his leave. He decided to return back to his monastery. And he's divested himself of all of his his significant possessions, to continue an austere lifestyle back at his monastery and with his order, and is gifted to those of you who remain behind all of the significant items that you have. You are, you know, you're down a member, this is an appealing offer. Do you choose to accept her?
I would say if they accept me, then we should accept her.
Defined accept.
So, given the snark from the group, it appears that they have they're going to allow you to join on their adventure, so the group can continue as planned. Unless you have anything else to do, we'll say the following morning, the cart is prepared for you and waiting at the Lion Shield Coster. You take the cart and the horse, and you make your way to Tribor. The journey, as I said, it takes about 5 days, half a 10-day, and it's a peaceful one. It's a surprisingly quiet, uneventful travel. Which is a little surprising. You know that Tribor is often plagued by, wandering monsters, wandering creatures, that sort of thing. But in this case, you don't really encounter anything. And by the way, if you see the map in front of you, and I think our shared map is, I need to make these icons smaller. Because that's obnoxious. Yeah, maybe I can't. There's a way to do it, I know.
I tried a lot. I couldn't do it either. Like, for some reason.
Yeah, they've changed the user interface quite a bit. And it's a little less. There seem to be fewer options than there used to be. They've consolidated a bunch of things, so I don't know where they put anyhow. So if you see the map, Phandalin is right here, and Tribor is right here, and right here is where Neverwinter is. So it gives you an idea of scale. So you're headed toward Fanel. And as I said, the trip is surprisingly uneventful. And as you approach Tribor, you see the following map. You are you're approaching from the west. So basically the upper left-hand corner of that map. And as you're traveling, you're passing by these farms and ranches as you move along. As you approach to enter the city, off here to the side is a what looks like a kind of a boarding house of sorts, maybe a little rundown, let's see, where's the with a little sign out that says Six Windows is the name of this. Looks like it's some sort of a rooming house. As you move on to the left, as you pass by, there's another inn that just seems to be boarded up and vacant. But then you enter into Tribor proper as you pass by a merchant or a place that sells or rents out horses and that sort of or how allows you to hire, called the Tribor Travelers. It's a common place that allows you to hire personnel and vehicles for caravans and that sort of thing. Across from an establishment that that sells and barters horses and carts and that sort of thing. It's very typical town features that you might encounter. The more unusual things as you enter the town square, which is where this square tower is, to the west and to the north are two large open fenced in fields, and these two fields are used for marshaling caravans and that sort of thing. This is a town that is at some crossroads, and so a lot of a lot of trade comes through here. So they are there are in both fields there are a couple of small caravans there, but not much. It doesn't seem to be too busy as of now, and where this tower is in the center is a two-story defensive tower, and surrounding it is a market square, this appears to be where defense of the town would take place should the need arrive. The lion's share is easily identifiable. It is this large building off to the east, directly across, or kitty corner, I should say, from where you enter the market square. What would you like to do?
That's where we're supposed to deliver?
That is, yeah, that is where you're intended to deliver, the target destination.
And we did, somebody spotted the black spider over somewhere over here, right?
Yeah, you got word from the Lion Shield, the proprietor of the Lion Shield, Coster, that her contacts at Lion Share had identified, spotted someone who matched the description of Black Spider. So yeah.
Well, let's complete our delivery, and then we can ask around for information about whether someone has seen the Black Spider.
Okay. I'm sorry. You're gonna go. Could you repeat that?
Go to the Lion's Tower.
Lion Share.
Lion Share.
Yeah.
And complete our delivery.
Okay. So you approach the Lion Share. It is a clearly recently refurbished building. It appears that perhaps it was recently vacant, but the Lion Shield Coster had renovated, refurbished the building. It's clearly a building that has long stood, but has been spruced up and repaired and brought back to its original glory. Almost as new. It has a very similar sign, very familiar to you from the Lion Shield Coster, a polished shield emblazoned with the head of a stylized golden lion on a blue background. This sign is hanging above the entrance. And as you enter, you're greeted by the two proprietors, a young female human and a young male human by the names of Alestra Ulgar and Narth Tezrin. Welcome. What can we do for you?
We have a delivery from Fandolin.
I kind of suspected when you walked in. There are very few groups of your kind that come through here, and I did receive word that you would be coming. You have my delivery, and I understand we have some things to discuss regarding someone we spotted here in town.
Excellent. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. And so while you're speaking with Narth, Alestra goes out and says, "Well, let me gather all the goods and we'll arrange for your payment." And she begins to move in all the goods that you've delivered. And Narth goes into the back office, and he brings out a small package. And he says, It's not much. It's not coin, but I think it might be helpful for you. You open up the package, and in this package appears to be a fairly ordinary looking bag. It's made from gray cloth, and you open it up. It appears to be empty.
So, what's so special about this bag?
Oh. Let me show you. And he reaches in and he pulls out what appears to be, one second, what appears to be a stuffed wolf toy. It wasn't in there before. And he says, "Here, see? Isn't that neat?"
Did you say this is some sort of bag whose purpose is to hold?
It's like, "Here, come here, let me show you." And He walks out the door. Do you follow?
Sure.
I'm just going to cast Identify on the bag.
Well, as you're going to burn a spell slot to do it for
you. I'm going to burn a spell slot.
So as he's walking out the door, you identify it as that's not what I wanted.
And I know you, if you tell me what it is, that doesn't mean I'm telling the group, but
that's not what I want to do. Yeah, I guess that is what I want to do. Yeah, well, yeah, I should have whispered that to you.
That's okay.
He takes it outside and he throws this this stuffed wolf onto the ground, and instantly it transforms into a large dire wolf. And this dire wolf stands there and initially is snarling and growling, but looks toward Narth and kind of perks up its ears and sits down and looks at him and appears to be waiting for some sort of interaction. And he says you can do that up to three times a day, but you can't have two, more than one at a time. If it were to die, it will just disappear. It's basically it, and at the end of the day, it disappears as well. It's kind of a little added bonus to help you on your way. It's not always the same animal. There are eight different animals that may get pulled from the bag, and you don't have any control over which it is. You just kind of get what you get, and it's just a regular animal, except for the fact that it appears and then vanishes when it's gone. So it's not like a familiar. You can't, channel your vision through it or anything like that, but it will pay attention to the person that has the bag that throws down the this item. And it doesn't say here that it can be dismissed, but I'm going to home rule that you can dismiss this creature at any time. And he does. He dismisses it, and it vanishes. So he says, "I hope you, I hope that meets with your, expectations of compensation. It's unfortunately we're really just getting established here, and we don't have a lot else to provide. Cash is short, and we'll." We'd appreciate it if you accept this as your payment for.
We'll accept it.
All right. Especially, and you didn't really agree on on any kind of payment.
I was going to say.
So we can pull animals out and then sell the animals to somebody, and then they disappear in a day. We can make money off of this, right? Hey, would you like to buy this badger?
You open a pet store.
Size up the man who is running the shop and just gave us the bag and see whether or not the creature we pull out can take him on.
The proprietor of the store is just it seems to be just a common man.
Yeah. I'm not actually interested in fighting or killing him. I'm not that much of a psycho.
maybe a little bit more charismatic and a little bit more capable than your average commoner. But he's not. He doesn't appear to be anything particularly special. So yeah, the dire wolf could probably tear him to pieces.
Thank you. Do you have what information do you have about the black spider?
So the black spider was identified. We have a local inn here that it's a little quirky. The proprietor kind of fancies himself as fancies his place as a destination for the wealthy, and they do come, but it's called Ever Wyvern House, and it caters to the wealthy nobility and other well-to-do type of people. It, like I said, it's called the Ever Wyvern House. It is the directs you to this establishment, which is, well, you scroll, come down to, yeah, there we go. This kind of sprawling establishment that is down in the southeastern side of a corner of the town. And apparently he stayed there for a couple of days prior to moving on. He was quiet and withdrawn. Appeared to be nursing some wounds that he had acquired, presumably due to you all, and he stayed there for several days. I don't have much information beyond that, but you may choose to speak to the proprietor, who goes by the name of. He has a name. He totally has a name. Draven Millovier. He's a human that runs the Wyvern House. He's a bit of a arrogant kind of guy. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But if he has information that could lead to, to tracking down this guy, then I believe it's worth it.
Does the timing seem right that, when he could have gotten here in half a 10-week or half a 10-day?
It's just barely. He would have had to have traveled pretty fast. He could have made it. You don't know all of his means of travel and that sort of thing, so it's hard to say exactly, but sure, the timing could align. It was several days between the completion of Wave of Echo Cave and you're receiving this word. But in addition, there were several days after your encounter a couple of days, I think, after your encounter, because you took some long rests within Wave Echo Cave.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So is it a nightclub type inn? Or is it more just a regular...
They do nightly have minstrels that play, and there is they hire some locals people that dress up in fancy garb to kind of enhance the mood and get people you know, mingling and talking and you know, dancing and you know, strutting about and that sort of thing.
So the inn is mostly open at night. So like during the day, the afternoon, it's not open to the public.
It is open to the public as an inn.
As a regular inn. Okay.
You can stay there. They don't. They are kind of associated with it, loosely associated with a restaurant called the Pleasing Platter, which is a fine dining restaurant, which is situated in front of the Ever Wyvern House. Okay. So on the map, that's right here. So while the inn itself is not a destination for meals, it is a destination for entertainment in addition to lodging.
Okay, so we can go see the owner while it's open at night, or we can go before they're opening at night, like in the afternoon or morning, and try to talk to this Draven guy. Any suggestions?
I would say since this Black Spider is probably moved on, the longer we wait, the bigger lead he's going to get, and the harder it'll be to find him. So I would suggest going now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I second that.
We thank you for the information, and we'll move on to the Aber Wyvern House.
Okay. So the Ever Wyvern House, as described, is a very well appointed, large, you know, fairly sprawling inn. The land around it is beautifully landscaped, and very well taken care of. There's a private stables next to the inn, whereas most people would stable their horses at the, you know, at the inn in town. The nobility and other rich folk are able to keep their horses locally. So there's meandering paths through little orchards and things like that. And the inn itself is a beautiful stone building. Lamps hanging from the eaves. There's a turret in one corner. It's just a very, very nice building. You enter the front door. Yep. And at the front desk is a the proprietor. And he takes takes one look at you and says, I think perhaps you're looking for one of the other inns in town. Is this perhaps you can look at the, you know, at Six Windows or one of the, you know, smaller inns in town. I don't think this is the place for you. And you kind of look around, and the people that you see are well dressed in finery, and you guys are dusty from the road, wearing armor and weapons, and not the same quote caliber unquote as the people in at the inn.
Right.
So I'm gonna watch the innkeeper, and then just gonna step out of the group. And then I'm just gonna telepathically speak, or like. Not as me, but like just try to intimidate him, like
okay. What are you saying? What are you doing to try to intimidate
him? I'm gonna just say, like, I've been watching you for a while. Like, I don't like this kind of behavior, like how you treat people, like all these things is gonna have dire consequences, like, and yeah, just gonna
roll an intimidation check with advantage. I'll give you advantage on this.
I mean, it is coming directly in his mind.
18. Roll again for advantage. 26 with advantage.
Wow. You see his face blanch. It goes completely white as the blood just drains from his face. And you see beads of perspiration would be a little odd. beads of perspiration just spring up on his forehead, and he stammers out. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't behave that way. What can I do for you?
We understand you've seen that a person who goes by the initials BS has been at your inn.
And he's still just clearly off center and looking around, trying to make it a little subtle, but you can tell he's looking around trying to figure out where this voice has come from. And Toph, you hear back to you, who are you? What are you doing in my head? And
is he saying that out loud?
No, he's not saying that out loud. Okay. He's saying that to Toph telepathically. Or that's what he's saying in his head, and Toph is able to to hear that. He's like, I don't know who you're talking about, and we generally don't give out information about our clientele. That's not good for business.
We just want to know what. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, he's like, I initials don't really help me I'm sure there have been many people with the initials of BS here in the past, and we cater to nobility. They don't like having that information just sprinkled around.
He would be a drow, and we're looking for is which direction he went when he left.
While Tankrin's saying that, I'm going to cast a Mage Hand and basically put a gold piece in the hand and slide it over to the proprietor.
Okay. Okay. So go ahead and Jeff, roll a persuasion check.
I'm just seeing like how far I am. Like I told, like I'm gonna move away from the crowd, but I'm gonna cast detect thoughts.
Natural one.
Okay. You're going to cast detect thoughts. Okay.
Yep. But I think I'm
so give me a stealth check to kinda hide your actions from the proprietor.
Sure.
Are you using this the sorcery point to make it non-verbal?
Yes, but like I think it's either semantic or semantic is gonna be there, right?
Like semantic.
Can I cast guidance for his stealth check?
You don't know the opinion.
Yeah, it would kind of have to come with the assumption that you know that he's actually doing that. Okay. So you're going to burn your
need still your check right?
Thought.
I think I could do natural 20.
Nice. You kind of wander around the corner, a corner out of the way, let's see, and he doesn't see you at all. I have stats for him somewhere. Yeah, Okay. Barely. So he has to make a DC 15 wisdom save.
I'm just trying to look for surface thoughts, like, because if I'm going to probe deeper, he knows, like, somebody's... But I think he already knows.
Okay.
I think somebody's intimidating him. So, yeah, that's fine. I'm going to dig deeper, though.
Oh, you are going to dig deeper, and which allows him to do a wisdom saving throw, right?
Yep.
Because
somebody's already in his mind, so he does know something.
Do you see that?
Yeah, we saw it.
There we go. Yeah, I didn't have the right tab on the view screen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He fails with a 13. You are able to push through his initial thoughts, which are basically just a fear and just, you know, what can he do to get out of the situation and just go basically run and hide somewhere that he doesn't have to deal with these type of people. And you detect, they must be talking about the drow that stayed here. I don't know what this BS thing is. I don't, he didn't go by BS. He had some other name. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. And he's, as far as I know, he just left town and headed north. It's the last, I saw him, and he said he was headed north toward what was the name of the town? It was even Mirabar, or is he going as far as Mirabar? Yeah, I don't remember. So you know, that's kind of the vein that you hear from him as he in his thoughts. So you get that he. It was a drow, so it was notable, and he left after staying a couple of days and headed north toward the direction of Mirabar, which because it is a fairly sizable town, is Mirabar is right up here.
Oh wow, that's way north.
Yeah, he was head in that direction. You don't know how, you know, if he was planning on staying there permanently, or if that's his final destination, or if that's just a stop on the way, or even if he was going to go all the way to Mirabar, just that he was headed in the direction of Mirabar. There are a couple of smaller towns on the way, Long Saddle and Santharl's Keep. Along the way to Mirawar. You guys are fairly familiar with this area because this is the area around Neverwinter that you're somewhat familiar with. But
So he's going to hear in his head that, like, you could say I could get into your head now, and I could get into your thoughts. So be nice to everyone. And then, like, I kind of really, like, whatever I do. Tankrin, telepathically, like, yeah.
And you see, you see the guy's Adam's apple just bob as he swallows, and he's just clearly frightened out of his wits. He has no idea what's going on. So you said you relay this information to
Tankrin.
Okay. To Tankrin,
okay. And then, like, I kind of slowly walk away from the, I mean, I'm away from the group anyway, so yeah.
So I give a kind of a nod and a wink to the rest of the group and say, well, thank you for your help. Be seeing you, and turn and walk out.
So yeah, so just out of blue, with absolutely no information acquired, as far as you guys can tell, Tankrin just kind of says this and, gives you the little wink and nod and walks away. So
before I walk out, did the proprietor take the gold piece out of my mage hand?
He did.
Okay, then never mind then. I'll just dismiss the mage hand. If he hadn't taken it, I was going to have it clinch its fist.
Actually,
around
no. It back. Let me retcon. Let me retcon that. He did not. He did not supply any information. He was trying to communicate that he was not open to bribes. Whether he actually was or not is, you know, you'll never know. But but yeah, he did not actually take the gold.
Okay.
So I will
pull it back with my mage hand and pocket the gold.
All right. Great. So with that, you have acquired in surreptitiously ish the movement of a black spider.
Yeah, I relay all the information that Toph gave me.
Yeah, and Toph, you really get the impression that he did not know the drow by the name Black Spider.
Yep.
Presumably he
used an alias.
Yeah, he used an alias. He was not advertising the fact that he was he was there. So what would you like to do?
Sounds like we should book a room at the Six Windows and head off in the morning, the next morning.
Okay.
We don't know how he left town, right? Do we know if he went via one of the caravans, or did he go alone?
He came alone, most likely, so he probably went all alone.
Okay, but we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure, but we suspect.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with spending the night.
Okay. So yeah, you head back into town. On your way back into town, you... sorry, I'm getting all kinds of notifications here. Apologies. We're getting
getting close to.
Yeah. We're getting close to the end of our time. So you recall there was the Six Windows, which is a boarding house type of place. As you were wandering through, kind of across the way, you do also notice that there is another inn, which seems to be in a little better repair, off to the north, as you're walking down the Evermore Way back to the city square, or the town square. So it appears that you have your choice of places to stay. There is Six Windows, which is the kind of rundown boarding house, which would certainly be inexpensive. And there is this other place, which looks like more like a more typical inn, off to the north as you're walking there. And then there is always the Everwyvern house that you could stay at if you chose to. There's certainly nothing
to stay at this. What's the inn that looks like it's in a little better shape?
You go over there and check it out. Yeah, it is a fine local inn, clean. It appears to be in good repair. It's nothing as ostentatious as the Everwyvern House, but it's called the North Shield House. It looks like a more typical inn that could easily accommodate your party.
Stay here then.
On our way over, since the proprietor was talking about how dirty we looked, I'm gonna just constantly cast prestidigitation and clean us up so at least we look presentable at this place.
So you walk in and interestingly, what do you do with your Mastiff, Tankrin? Is this your mount, right?
Yeah.
It is actually a Fey Mastiff, right?
Celestial. Yeah.
A Celestial. Okay. So it is not your typical Mastiff. It definitely looks and appears and behaves a little differently. But are you planning on taking your Mastiff into the inn with you, or?
Yep.
So you enter in, and interestingly, as you enter in, you see, you immediately notice, because you're attuned to this, that there are three other real mastiffs laying about the common room, which you find very interesting and unusual, and they immediately perk up at the sight of your mount, of your mastiff, and one of them kind of slowly rises to his feet, and kind of saunters over, and starts sniffing at your mastiff, and he looks kind of confused, and he doesn't start growling, but you get the impression of a little bit of, you know, the hackles rising a little bit, a lot along his back, and you hear coming from the front desk a woman's voice, it's okay, he'll be fine. Don't mind him. He's just confused by your very unusual dog there. What is going on there?
Oh, he's a mastiff, just like your dogs here. Special kind.
Interesting. That's
he's
fascinating.
Friendly. He won't bite anybody that I don't tell him to.
Well, we are pet friendly, so that's fine. My name is Urgala, and I am the proprietor here. Are you looking for lodging?
Yes, we are.
Excellent. We can certainly house you, and we have the common room, or we have several. We have several guest rooms and private quarters, how many rooms would you like?
Well, I don't know about you guys metagaming a bit here, but I'm a bit flush with gold.
So you want a room to yourself?
I mean, doesn't need to be, because there is now another female in the group.
Yep. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I think probably we both could share the room.
So you want to get?
I don't want you snooping in my dreams.
So she goes, well, it's one gold per night per room. You can, jeez, you know, have basically any number of people in your room if you want. That's entirely up to you.
I toss five gold to her and say we want five rooms.
Five private rooms? Okay. Well, great. She's like, well, welcome. She goes back and gets keys for rooms 1 through 5. And they're all grouped together in the upstairs, basically right next to each other. You've got most of the inn to yourself, at least in terms of the rooms. In the eating area, there is a large, you know, there are a number of people there. You suspect some locals, some not, eating and having their meals. So you settle in for the night after acquiring your information about Black Spider. It is late in the day. So perhaps not much to be able to do the rest of the day. So it's about time, would you like to just turn in for the night, or is there anything else you want to do before?
I'm okay with turning in.
Yep, turning in sounds good.
All right. And you rest in a room after a long day of travel and acquiring information and a nifty new magic item. And I think that's where we're going to end the episode. Perfect timing. With
good.
Just a couple of minutes left. So. And that's...